Luke Ferguson, can you go ahead and come down here? Luke's going to open us in a word and a prayer here in just a second. I don't want us to have any disillusion that we're at war. Come on, son. I've mentally prepared myself that this could be the last time that I see my son. There's a lot of things that are changing in the world. I moved away from him to the south part of the United States of America. And I don't know what the situation is going to look like in the times to come for travel. I'm also going to ask for some prayers for me. I've got some things going on with my heart that we don't know for sure yet what's going on. But I'm going to tell you this, and the reason I wanted my son to pray for us is I don't know if this is the last time I'm going to see him. Brethren, we need to have that approach when we focus on everyday life. We are not guaranteed the next breath, but we are guaranteed life eternal with Jesus our King. Let's keep the right focus. Push on the right things. And don't mistake for one second that we're at war. Luke, you want to pray for us?
Sure.
Go ahead and take the mic there.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for this great and wonderful day and just the great men's peaks and just all the great messages. And I just want to thank you for the great encouragement and the fellowship of the brethren and just how important that fellowship really is and just the focus on fighting the battle and not giving up and just how important that is for us to live out in our daily lives and to show others as well. And I just want to pray for us to have a great close to the camp tomorrow and have a safe trip home. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Luke. Let's go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where I had planned on starting tonight. And just again, that reminder, Jacob Martin. There's a bunch of jokers back there. And I'm certain he has an accomplice somewhere in the camp. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we." You know, there's a really important reminder for us here. Man, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. I love the way that Sue finished that. Man, you don't bring a gun to a sword fight. And we are looking at the things that are really important eternally. There's going to be a lot of distractions that are coming our way in the physical realm. Which realm is the eternal realm? Which realm is the one that we need to spend our time and our efforts fighting for? Just remember this. God has a plan, and it's eternal plan at that. There are no non-combatants. You're in the fight. Jesus makes it very clear. He makes a statement, "You either gather with me or you scatter. You're either for me or you're against me." There are no non-combatants. Like it or not, you're in the fight. It's important for us to remember that. This serious business that we're in here. And we can have fun, and I appreciate that. But let's not lose sight of what's real and what's going on. The God of this world is working hard to distract the Christian. He is not worried about the Calvinist. He's worried about the Christian. You know, he's got the Calvinist. I appreciated what Kirk had to say. Man, it's easy sometimes to push that thing way off, but it ain't that far off. Look out for that doctrine that creeps in. Man, we are at war, and it is serious, and we need to take it serious. You know, when we talk about armor, armor has a purpose. It's to equip the soldier for the fight. And that's been brought forth. I really appreciate that. Man, warriors. You know, I was thinking, you don't have to turn there, but I was thinking about Ezekiel 37 and that resurrected army in the Valley of Dry Bones. And you know what's great about that? Where's that army? They're on their feet. I'd encourage you, we don't have near enough time to go through this, but go look at Ezekiel 37. When you get to the end of Ezekiel 37, please keep reading. Because the army on their feet's great. But that thing walks its way through Gog and Magog. And you see the glory of the Lord fill the temple after He measures and defines that thing. What an awesome picture. Oh, there's a land that's set apart for the priests and the tribes. An offering for the Sabbath. And the end of it, the name of the city is the Lord is there. That's the purpose of the resurrected army. To take that thing all the way through. Man, we're in the fight. And it's an important thing for us to remember. I was thinking a little bit how to do this. We'll try this on and see if it works. There's a creation story. And, you know, it's pretty easy to think about the days of the creation. You know what day of the creation we're on? Middle of the week. The Lord God didn't stop creating. He really began creating, and we're in the middle of that week, and it ends at the Sabbath. Check out the scripture. You'll see there's a Sabbath day coming, and that's when God stops working, stops creating. See, when God did this, and we can talk about this physical creation, that's fine, you can talk about it, but God only spent 6 days on this physical creation. And when He put that thing in motion, He basically knew it wasn't going to last. And so since then, He's been diligently working to build the creation of His eternal kingdom that will last forever. What's really important, what really matters, remember the real creation. The one that really matters. You think in your own life, if you have something that you're working on, you spend a little bit of time on it. You have something else that you work on that you spend a lot of time on. Which one's more important? Which one is more important based upon the amount of power and energy and effort that you put into it? You take a look at this physical creation. Jesus didn't die for this physical creation. There was no offering of a son for this physical creation. But there is for you, brethren, the new creation. That's the one that counts. God is still creating. He's still building His kingdom. And there's a Sabbath day rest coming. We got to get there. We talked a lot about the armor this weekend. Let's go ahead and go to my passage here, Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. We take a look at that passage of Scripture and we've got some instructions there. We're to lay aside the deeds of darkness, the deeds of the flesh. We're to put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick that stuff up and put it on. Now, why would we bother putting something on if we're never going to go fight? Man, I appreciate so many messages that have gone on. Armor's to be used. Get in the fight. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you got to lay aside the deeds of darkness and the deeds of the flesh. They got to be put aside. We talked about girding the loins with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. See, the armor of the light is all of those. Sometimes when we read through those lists, and I think it's really important, I'm glad that we're doing this in one section, because it's easy to take a look at those things and separate them out. But the reality is, they together make up singularly the armor of God, the armor of light. They're not individual, like you can use this one and not use this one. They all collectively go together to accomplish the purpose of putting on the armor of God so that we are equipped to go into battle and have victory for the Lord. That's the purpose behind armor, to be used. That comment was made earlier also. Clothed with Christ. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not room for anything else to be put on. Man, we got to strap that armor on. Strap on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk some about this and a little bit about what that looks like. Go to Mark chapter 9. I gave you that bottle of water, Sue, and I'm still nervous. I'm grabbing the used bottle. Mark 9, verse 3, talking about Jesus here, commonly referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, "And his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them." Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 2. "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light." Luke chapter 9. Verse 29. "While he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming." Verse 32. "Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him." See, there's something that's revealed. We're going to work on this in a second. But I want you to understand something. When we take a look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see the glory revealed there. They saw his glory. And I want you to understand, there's two components to this that we're going to talk about. The first one is, his face shone like the sun. It was changed. It shone like the sun. And I want you to understand that that's a representation of the inner man. His face is shone. That thing is pure white. The glory of the Lord. And that's representing who he is on the inside. Then you take a look at that. We got the garments that are white like no launderer on earth can make them. That's talking about what flows out of the man. And that thing is pure white, the glory of the Lord revealed also. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. I love the picture that we get here, and it's important to understand what this is talking about. Exodus 33. Verse 18, then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Go down to 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. He asked, Moses says, show me your glory. God says, all my goodness will pass before you. That's his response. And I want you to think back to Jesus there on the mountain. And what do we see? We got his face radiant. Pure, the glory of the Lord. And we have his garments, pure, radiant, the glory of the Lord. What we see there is we actually see a picture of who Jesus is on the inside, the glory of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 talks about that Jesus is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. So we see that, we actually see the glory of the Lord, the goodness, when you take a look at it, it is displayed as pure light. The glory of the Lord is so pure, and that thing goes from the inside to the outside. That's God's plan for us to be transformed. When we put on the armor of the light, we're putting on the glory of the Lord, His goodness, and that goodness is so pure that there is no darkness at all. The radiance of that purity. You know, I was thinking back to that tabernacle, and you study through that. Great study on going through the tabernacle and the Christian and understand exactly how that thing is put together. But one of those things that's there is that linen fence that surrounds it. And that linen fence, I've thought about this. What would that look like? So you understand that linen, part of the process to do that, that thing is going to be pure and it's going to be white. There's a whole lot that goes into that linen. I encourage you to study it out if you haven't done that. It's amazing. There's a process that goes through called redding, and it has to get immersed in water in order for the impurities to come out of it. It's absolutely amazing what has to happen for that linen to become pure, the flax to become pure for linen. But I think about that tabernacle and what that thing would have looked like. And I want you to picture with me in your mind that thing is entirely surrounded by that linen fence. And do you know what we have a picture of in the Scripture when we see linen? Pure white. Now think about a structure out in the middle of the desert that is gleaming pure white. You think your eye is going to be drawn to that? Like you couldn't believe. Anybody knows where that thing is? The center of the camp of Israel. That's where it's at. The armor of light. Is there armor, when we take a look at the full armor of God, is that represented in honor? If that is the goodness, the glory of the Lord that shines through us from the inside out, is that a defense against the world? Yeah, you bet it is. Also, how does that represent itself to the world? Is the goodness of God, His glory represented in the pureness of His nature, does that have the ability to impact people around you? What do you think? Sure does. And if they're looking for the truth, their eyes are going to be drawn to that, because it is going to stand out no different than the linen fence around the tabernacle would in the wilderness. It will stand out. See, I think about armor and I think about soldiers. I think about a uniform. I was just in the airport flying up here, and there was a soldier that was walking through the airport. You know how I knew he was a soldier? He had soldier clothes on. He was actually fairly easy to pick out. He was the only guy that was wearing soldier clothes around there. Like, that guy's in the army because he's got army clothes on. It's easy to identify. How about in this world of incredible darkness, do you think that God has a plan for His people to be equipped with the armor of light so that they stand out? Think about Jesus. Why did they put Jesus to death? He was good, and they couldn't handle it. I want you to think again. Think about the trial of Jesus. What really did they have on Him? There was nothing. They're grasping at straws. They're like, he hangs out with bad people. Okay. Has He ever done anything bad? Well, no. Did He actually bring out your proof of blasphemy? Well, we can't really do much there either. But crucify Him. Put Him to death. Man, He stood out. The glory of the Lord shone through Him. Now, does that mean Jesus walked around shining all the time? But in this world of darkness, in the spiritual landscape, 100%, He was shining all the time. Man, they were drawn to Him. That guy would get in a boat to get away from the people, and by the time he got across the other side, they were there waiting for Him. Man, they were drawn to Him. Why? There was a light. There was something way different in the landscape. And man, they couldn't help but to be focused on it, to see that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, I am so glad that you asked. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. You know what Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 is? Or Matthew 5 verse 17 says? It says that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And the entire law and prophets rests on two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want you to think about that for a second right now. If in Christ we just did those two things, how does that impact the world around? You think that those that you're in proximity with would know there is something way different about you if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and the second being like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you understand? That's what Jesus did. Love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself. The birds have nests. The fox has the fox have holes. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Why? The carpenter couldn't build himself a house? Maybe the carpenter was building a house. But it was in the eternal place. That's really what he was worried about building. Man, you take a look at, read through the Gospels and take a look at Jesus, and you know what you see? He loved his neighbor as himself. Let me give you an understanding of just how far Jesus went. He put himself to the point of exhaustion that he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat that the fishermen were scared for their life in the storm. And he was asleep. That's tired. Why was he that tired? Was it a big Xbox night the night before? Because that guy poured himself out because he loved his neighbor as himself. You want to know what that looks like? Look at Jesus. Think about in 3.5 years in his ministry, what he accomplished. Yeah, man, he's fulfilling prophecy, but do you understand the trajectory of his ministry? The velocity of it came because he loved his neighbor as himself. That guy's walking through the street, man, and they are just crowded around him. Why? Man, he was different. They could tell. Was Jerusalem full of righteous people? Those that looked righteous? Man, Jesus was a lot different, wasn't he? They saw his glory. John chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How'd that go in 1 John 5, Nolan? Commandments, not burdensome? Is that what it said? What are those commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Second is like it, love your neighbor yourself. And oh, by the way, love your brethren. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, you better think about who you're hanging out with. I'm serious. I would tell you that there are probably people within the sound of my voice right now that would definitely choose people over the world rather than their brothers in Christ. Now, if you can't stand to be together now, you really think you're going to be together in eternity? Really? Man, we got to get real about some of this stuff. So we contrasted the armor of light and putting aside those deeds of the flesh. It's easy to hit some of them, man. Promiscuity, drunkenness, stuff like that. What about those interpersonal things? What about allowing that root of bitterness to take hold in your life against a brother? Guess what? We're in proximity to one another in Christ. You know what that means? That means every now and again, we're going to rub against each other a little bit, maybe step on someone's toes. What are you going to do with that? You going to let that come between you and a brother? Does that look like the armor of light? I want you to think about the night in which Jesus was betrayed for a second. It's easy to ascribe that betrayal to Judas alone. But no one was with him. They all betrayed our Lord on the night that he was crucified, the night of his betrayal. If anybody could have held stuff against somebody, it was Jesus. I want you to consider two characters real quick, Judas being one. Let's just pick another one. How about Peter? Did they both betray Jesus? They sure did. One got paid a little bit for it. You guys remember what Peter said? I'm willing to die for you, Lord. We know these other fellows won't, but I will. One little miscue on the sword play. And Peter's stumbling over himself to deny Jesus. What was the Lord's response to Peter? That guy was given the keys of the kingdom and he carried it out, didn't he? Brethren, we're going to bump up against each other from time to time. We're going to step on each other's toes from time to time. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? It's interesting, in John chapter 13, it says that they will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Man, that's really important. We take a look, and I agree, I can't remember who said it. There's always been tough times on the horizon. Don't kid yourself. There's always been tough times on the horizon. But as those tough times are on the horizon and we're facing them, man, you think we're going to need each other in that time? I know for me, when I take a look at the book of 1 Peter, towards the end of that, he basically says, look, take confidence knowing that your brethren are accomplishing the same experience of suffering throughout the world. Man, that's comforting, knowing that I'm not alone. I need you guys. More than ever, I need you. The armor of light. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's talk about that love your neighbor for yourself as a second. That doesn't mean that you just bake him pies all the time. If you love your neighbor, you know what you're going to do? Talk to him about Jesus. You're going to tell him the truth. That looks different, doesn't it? Don't let the world define love your neighbor for you. Let the Lord God define love your neighbor. Let the example of Jesus our King define love your neighbor. Did Jesus have tough conversations with people? How about that woman at the well? He wasn't supposed to talk to her at all. She knew it. He knew it. The apostles knew it. Everybody knew it. How comfortable is that? I go get your husband. Don't have one. Jesus is like, righto. Five and a mostly. Common law. Okay. Got your attention. What'd she do? How dare you talk to me that way? Why are you judging me like that? No, she went into town because someone cared enough to talk to her when they weren't supposed to. She's like, you got to come listen to this guy. Man, you don't know when you talk to your neighbor. You don't know what's going to happen. They might never speak to you again. The most loving thing that you can do for them is tell them the truth. Do it in love. Years ago, I was in a little bit of a situation studying with a guy, and I was very immature at that time. There was a personal piece that went along with it. And we sat down, and I was determined to show him I was right. And I let him have it. I was right, but I did not do it out of love. And there was another individual in the room, someone I did love. And it damaged that relationship where that individual, it took a long time to reestablish trust because how I behaved myself. Because I was a lot more worried about showing him I was right than speaking the truth in love. You know what the armor of light does? The goodness of the Lord comes forth and you get to shine. And you get to do the right thing for the other person and you do it from the love of God. Now, that don't mean it's going to work out. They may still decide never to talk to you again. They may ridicule you. They may blaspheme the holy name by which you've been called. But man, we got to do that. So when we talk about the armor of light, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbors yourself, don't let the religious world define that. You let the armor of God define what the armor of light is, the character of Christ. You take a look at the armor of God. Did Jesus have that armor on? What do you think? Did he have the shield of faith? The breastplate of righteousness? The helmet of salvation? The sword of the Spirit? Were his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Now, he's the example, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is important. 1 John chapter 3, let's go ahead and turn there. Verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Man, when we talk about this, are we laying down our lives for each other? Really? Man, read through the scripture. Do you know that when you lay down your life for your brethren, that means that you may not do something for their benefit because you love them enough to something that you may be able to do with a clean conscience for their benefit because of their weakness. You put it aside for them. Lay down your life. You love someone enough to miss your scheduled event because they want to hear about the Lord. How about if somebody has made a mess out of their life? Brother and sister in Christ, man, they've got themselves entangled in some sin. You gonna love them enough to help them? Well, they made their bed. They can lie in it. You know what I've discovered? Most people, if they're serious, they know their sin. They really do. Years ago, I studied with a lady. After the first day, I was like, well, what'd you think? She says, I thought you were going to tell me everything I did wrong. I was like, look, you know what you did wrong. You don't need me to tell you. You know what you do need me to tell you, though? How to get it right. What about a brother? Oh, you know, maybe a little bit of mercy triumphs over judgment. You gonna love them through that stuff? Does that look different than the world? You guys ever look at the context of Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? No, I mean, read it. Like before that. After it's good too, right? Yeah. But specifically before that, what's the context of be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, and by the way, if you're nice to the people that are nice to you, like, good on you, so are the Gentiles. How about when someone's in your grill and you love them through that? You pray for your enemies. Was Jesus perfect in that? Sure was. Think about how Jesus conducted himself when he was on trial. Man, that's impressive how the Lord conducted himself that night. While being defiled, did not defile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Man, what an awesome picture that is. It's armor of light. Why do you think when he dies, the Roman centurions are like, surely this was the Son of God? Man, we got to armor up. The tough times could be coming. 1 John 4:17 closes out that verse with, as he is, so also are we in this world. Who's going to carry this on for the Lord? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. The love of Christ controls us. If we want to know what that looks like, all we have to do is look and see what Jesus did, right? Did the love of Christ control him? Obviously so, otherwise it wouldn't be called the love of Christ, right? But man, it did. Again, take a look at how he conducted himself. The love of Christ controlled him. Man, the armor of light was there and people saw who he was. How do you recognize him? They were souls that needed Jesus. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he saw. What did the other people see? Tax gatherers and sinners, right? What did Jesus see? These people are in need of a physician. They need help. So what did he do? Became a social outcast for him. Philippians chapter 2. Our verse in context talked about laying aside those deeds of darkness, putting on the armor of light, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, so then, my beloved, just as you have now, or you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Work out that salvation with fear and trembling. That's written to Christians for Christians. Appreciated that message on the helmet of salvation. Man, stay in the fight. Keep your head in the game. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let's talk for a second about just how that works. The Spirit of God in your life is not going to operate contrary to your will. If you do not want to put on the character of Christ, the Spirit of God is not going to force you into it. The Holy Spirit is named the Helper, the Parakletos. It's not the do it for, it's the Helper. And it is not going to operate contrary to what you want. But if you want it, if you want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you know what happens? The Lord is going to double down on that. He is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And because of that, do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you may appear amongst this perverse world as lights, luminaries. I want you to think about those luminaries for a second and picture this dark out here. We've got a moonless night and a clear sky. And you look up into the heavens and you see that black as night. But what do you see? The luminaries. The stars. It's amazing. When you take a look at that, you look into the heavens, you know what you don't see? The blackness. You see the lights. You see those luminaries that are there. That sky looks a lot like our world, doesn't it? Black as black. How are we supposed to appear against that sea, that vastness of the blackness? As those lights, those luminaries. Man, people, they're going to be drawn to that. But if we're not showing it, if we haven't put on the armor of light, you know what we're going to do? We're going to blend in to the vastness. Guys, this is done intentionally, with effort. Man, I hope that we get up in the morning and we think, how can I be a light to the world today? How can I positively impact those that are around for the Lord Jesus? Are you thinking about putting on that armor of light? You thinking about putting on Jesus? When you walk out the door, are you thinking about, hey, maybe today I get an opportunity with my neighbor? Maybe today. Are you looking for the chance? Do you want to show the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the armor of light, to be luminaries? You know, it's pretty interesting. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking. He basically says, look, I did some good things, but I'm going to go to the Father, and you shall do greater things than these. I want you to think about that sky for a second. Man, that sun, it was over here a little bit ago. Sue talked about it. Man, it is beautiful. It's big, right? That's just because it's closer. When you look up into the heavens and you see those stars, you know some of them are way bigger than the sun. Those luminaries. Greater things. What's God's plan? In His priestly prayer, in John chapter 17, He says, look, there are those that are going to believe in Me because of your words. Man, we got to be lights to the world, luminaries. This isn't just about being a nice guy. Man, you got to do the right thing. You got to put on the full armor of God. You got to be determined that you are going to show the light of Jesus to the world because the world needs it. Do you understand that every suicide that happens, they ain't looking for the light no more? You realize those happened out of that desperation, whether it be in the moment or after long suffering, where they just come to the conclusion, there's nothing worth it. Man, I hope that breaks your heart. It breaks mine. Man, that tears me up to think about that. Can you imagine that you are so hopeless, and when you look out there, you don't see anything that resembles hope? How terrible that must be. Man, we need to be those lights, those luminaries. We need to be in people's lives. They got to know that we care about them no matter what. Whether it's convenient or not for you? How about for each other? Man, I'm blessed. I like Sue, I got treated like royalty. I flew in here, I had a bed to sleep in. These guys taking care of Mr. Garlock got me hooked up, and praise the Lord. I need you guys. I need the kingdom. I need to know that there are other luminaries that are shining out there for the Lord. Man, I need that. Hope you need it too. I hope when you get up and you think about the kingdom, that you're thinking about the kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus come preaching? Kingdom of heaven. What did John come preaching? Kingdom of heaven's at hand. What did the apostles preach? Kingdom of heaven. That's what they preached. Man, please, please understand. You might be the only opportunity for someone. Lord talks about us as that light, like a city set up on a hill. I think sometimes we mistake what a light is. We think it's like this little flicker flame, right? This little light of mine, right? I'm gonna let it shine. We're not little lights. The fullness of God dwells inside of us. The God that when He made the physical creation on day four and He hung those stars up in the sky, those were the temporary. Those were the ones that didn't matter. And how long has He been working on us, on His church, on His kingdom, to be those magnificent bright lights for Him that show His glory by the goodness that they have? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Act like men. This is Men's Peaks, Men's Clinic. Act like men. Guys, it's time that we get tough. It's time that if you're playing around, quit playing around. Get serious. I want you to think about you're going to war and you got to depend on the guy next to you. Do you want him to be serious about his job in that battle? If your life depends on him, do you want him to be serious about it? Be strong. Act like men. Now that statement, act like men, you know why that's there? What are men supposed to do? The hard stuff, right? Visiting with my brother earlier. You know what the men used to do? Defend their wives and their children from the saber-toothed tiger. That's a step above mowing the lawn, isn't it? Act like men! Man, as a reminder for us, we come up to this mountain, act like men! Man, I'm telling you, there's sometimes, man, I get a little scared for the church because I see the culture come in and take over. Man, we're not acting like men. We ain't going to get there. Get tough. Be strong in the Lord. You know, it takes real strength to love people, to love the unlovable. It takes real strength. You know what happens when you love the unlovable? If they open up, you think they forget that or you think they remember that? Be those lights. Be those luminaries. Put on the armor of light. Let all things that you do be done in love.